How do you overcome fury, loneliness, jealousy and sadness that your husband or your wife's betrayal has swept you into? How do you ever manage to find a silver lining? Well, CJ Grace's book, Adulterer's Wife, does just that. And I'm pleased to say she joins me on the show to tell us how to use your shock and your anger to take back power and gain independence instead. CJ, welcome to the afternoon show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this, hopefully, as we chat, will get a lot of response from our listeners. But as with any self-help book, I will only give someone the benefit, the author the benefit, if they've been through it. Have you?
I have been through it. And as I was going through it, I came across so many other women who were also going through the same thing, or who had been through the same thing, or whose parents had been through something similar. And the circumstances were so varied, but there are some common themes that you can really hang on to that can help you move through this awful black hole that you get yourself into. It's a devastating experience.
And we need to say, before we go any further, I mean, this, you know, we live in a diverse society. So this book could be heterosexual relationships, which is probably what we're going to talk most about, actually, if I'm honest, because I've been there as well. It's my show. I'll cry if I want to, literally. but it could be gay relationships, or mixed relationships, whatever. So let's just, for the sake of this interview, talk about heterosexual relationships. But I would love anyone listening, if that's not, you know, between a man and a woman, if that wasn't the case with you, or indeed if it was the wife leaving the man, because I'm going to stick my neck out here and say, CJ, because I've been there, it's the bloke usually, okay? So I will literally face it full on. Anyone that says, actually, no, it was my wife who was the adulterer, usually it's the bloke.
It's definitely more common. Women do tend to be more monogamous than men. I've even seen some studies out there that show that the most monogamous couples are lesbian couples. And then you've got heterosexual couples, and way at the bottom are the gay male couples.
Yes.
So there is this evolutionary drive in men to spread the seed far and wide, but the women, since that results in having a baby that you have to look after for 15, 20 years, they tend to be much more circumspect. And there is that evolutionary drive that's still in there, even if we don't consciously think about
that
it.
That is one of the most interesting facts anyone has ever said on this subject to me before. That is so interesting that gay men are right down at the bottom as far as monogamy is concerned, and straight men, and right at the top are gay women. That proves quite a few points, doesn't it? That women find it difficult to wander.
That's true. And I have to say that with a lot of studies, there's statistics, so you have to take some of these studies with a pinch of salt, but that seems to be what the general consensus is.
Okay, so let's just look at anyone whose partner has unknowingly played away from home, and then you are told about it. Either you've discovered it, or as in the case of my scenario, he told me whilst driving down the Edgware Road. What happens, and they say it's the same with love, love makes you mad. Being wronged by in what you thought was a loving relationship makes you equally as mad. You cannot see the wood through the trees. How can your book help?
The first thing that I would like women to think about is always look after your own best interests. And that means that you have to take a step back from that emotional roller coaster. Take your time to decide what you want, how you want to react. Try and deal with the emotions first going off half-cock and getting into a very acrimonious situation with your partner.
So when you say, I mean, are you quite mercenary? When you say take your time, know what you want, do you mean financially? Do you mean as far as payout, alimony is concerned?
Everything. Because there are so many different ways that the situation can play out. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. You look at some couples and you think, oh my God, how can she put up with that? He's dreadful. But then when you look a little bit further and stop having these snap judgments, you can see that there is a loving relationship there, even if you might think it's strange. There's a loving relationship and there is happiness in that relationship. That doesn't mean to say that there are other relationships where, say, the wife stays with a serial philanderer. and is not happy, but continues with that situation as it seems to be the best deal for her. That's very, very common, for instance, in the wives of public figures.
Yes, of course it is. And if you don't mind my saying so, also in the wives of wealthy men, they
Absolutely.
Know what side their bread is buttered. But I think in most instances, your gut reaction is to get the hell out. I just thought, right, I'm off, you know? And I didn't think, I mean, we were renting somewhere. I didn't think, gosh, I've now got to find somewhere for myself to live and all my stuff is in that flat and everything else. I just wanted to get the hell out. Surely that's what most people, if you're wounded, you run to earth, don't you?
That's true, but my book, Adulterer's Wife, the subtitle is How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not. And that is the aim. That's what you have to really think about when you're going through this situation. It's very, very easy to be full of revenge. And revenge can create all kinds of additional problems. My view is the best revenge is to get past the need for it, to try to take the high ground, to try to think about things in this very, very difficult situation in as rational a way as you can. It's a similar situation to bereavement. And when people are going through that, they're often advised, don't make any rush decisions. Don't just suddenly move out of the house. Take your time, get over the initial shock, and then make your decisions. And that is probably the hardest thing to do, but I think in some ways is the most intelligent, because you never know how something's going to play out. What kind of relationship is the man having with the other woman?
Is it short term or not? Can I stop you there? Because the first chapter I went to was the chapter entitled The Other Woman, which I think is chapter 3. And it comes fairly early in the chapters, because that, for most women, it's like, I need to know what she got that I haven't. I need to know exactly how serious this is. I need to know how to treat her. I mean, no one's going to offer an olive branch to the other woman. You say, don't blame her, but of course we blame her.
We do, yes. But who made the marriage vow with you? It was your husband. It wasn't her. And there are villains and victims and just ordinary folks amongst those mistresses. It's a whole range of people. And you can't always just... It's just a stereotypical thing that you do. You always blame the other woman. You think she's stolen your husband from you. Well, he's made the choice to go there. It isn't all her. It's at least 50% him.
It's very different for those with children, isn't it?
Absolutely.
With children, you're not a free spirit. You have to think of the family unit. You have to think of your children's future as well as yours. And those are the women I feel sorry for. I was always in a situation where I could stomp off and do whatever I wanted. I didn't have luggage, literally, with me. It is, you have to consider all the other people, your offspring, don't you?
That's true. And if you get into a very acrimonious parting with your husband, you can end up making your children have to choose between their parents. And it's something that will never, ever have a good end. You have to do whatever you can to think about your children. And it's difficult, because when you're full of that anger and insecurity and sadness, sometimes these children get forgotten. But they are a huge part of the infidelity picture.
I find it really interesting, because you now live in the States.
That's right.
And they are the first. They were that whole trend for prenups. So surely all of that now safeguards a lot of what we have been discussing, that you're not going to be left financially barren, that you've gone into that long before, as mercenary as I always thought it was. It's such a good idea, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily. If you go in with a prenuptial agreement with a husband and you've been with him for a long time and you have a lot of money that is built up during the relationship and you are not able to take any of that with you if the marriage fails, that's not so good for the women. And certainly in older generations, whether it's over in the States or here in England, there are a lot of women that have nothing to do with the finances. They leave it all up to the man. They really don't know where everything is. And so a man can salt it all away abroad, run off with a secretary. This is such a common story. And then the woman is left with nothing, because you can go through the divorce courts, but there's nothing to show for the money that he is supposed to have had. That's a very common story.
Do you, with my real cynical hat on now, do you, because I question whether marriage, whether we're supposed to be hitched to each other like this, you know, that to get yourself to not become a victim which is what most of us are. The moment they transgress, we become the victim, simply because it's a man's world. It always will be. They go for a younger model.
Absolutely.
You can go on. Only Prince Charles went for an older one. We become the victim. Do you think marriage is probably not what nature intended?
It's certainly a better environment to bring up children. But with the expanded lifespans that we have now, you have a much longer period for men to get fed up with their women and wander off for sex with a younger model. I think that when lifespans were shorter, it was probably less of a problem, especially with ED drugs and all of these kinds of developments that allow a man to really continue till he drops into the grave. so that you have situations like Hugh Hefner marrying somebody that's 60 years younger.
Mm.
Why do they go for somebody like that? Well, he's Hugh Hefner and he's as rich as Croesus.
Mm.
You know, and in some ways you have to look at the absurdity of it. So that in my book, Adulterer's Wife, I had cartoons, I had a lot of humor, because there are all these absurd stereotypes. You are, in a sense, yes, the victim of those stereotypes as a woman whose husband's left you, but they are absurd nonetheless.
But they exist. You can kick against it, you know, you can bang the drum for emancipation.
Absolutely.
They hold the trump card. It is, I've heard you being criticized, this book being criticized for what you say about make the most of yourself, you know, don't let yourself go. But I'm completely in your camp with that, completely in your camp. If you're going to play the marriage game, you have to play by the rules. You can't let yourself go for the whole reason you've just given.
That's right. And it's also a way that makes you feel better, because having a husband leave you for a younger woman is a recipe for feeling extremely ugly and unattractive. You have been rejected. There's no other way. You can't put lipstick on a pig, as they say in America. That's the way it is. So what do you do? You have to find ways to make yourself feel better. And that involves, if you like wearing nice clothes, you finally go out and spend money on clothes. Because a lot of women who are married for a long period of time, especially of my generation, and I'm more of a baby boomer than a millennium person, you end up nose to the grindstone, ministering to the husband, taking care of the kids or raising the kids, maybe taking care of a family business. And the last thing you do is take care of your appearance. And all those things that made you interesting and sparkly, the interests, the attractiveness you had, the nice clothes you were wearing when you were younger, go by the wayside. So you have to think about reclaiming not just clothes that make you feel attractive, but also interests that make you feel fulfilled and something that makes life worth living and makes you complete without the man.
Okay.
That's the important thing.
So my thanks to CJ Grace. The book is called The Adulterer's Wife and it's out now. Thank you.